do I like this person? Do they make me feel how I desire to feel? Can I stay aligned with my values and not sit there thinking, oh God, I hope he likes me?
Welcome to Sacred Leaders. I am Sigrid Tasius, leadership and embodiment coach, author, speaker, and modern medicine woman. And you found the podcast where conscious leaders discuss and explore topics around aligned entrepreneurship, ancient wisdom and spirituality, personal development, and success strategies to help you bring more depth and embodiment to your leadership and create the life and impact of your dreams. Today's guest is Jordana Levin, the best-selling author of the books Make It Happen and most recently, Higher Love. She is also the host of three successful podcast shows, and with her background in journalism, Jordana has built a reputation for taking big topics and making them relatable, digestible, and downright entertaining, and for inviting her readers to get curious about the things that light them up. Her latest book, Higher Love, is a deep dive into all things dating. And as a coach, you know, I coach so many women that are coaches, teachers, and overall epic entrepreneurs. And many of these women share with me that they have either found it hard in the past or are currently finding it hard to really find someone they want to be in relationship with for many different reasons. So I thought to bring this conversation up in the podcast to really explore what are some of the reasons that ambitious and successful women may find it hard to find their quote-unquote match. So we dive into that as well as how to date without losing yourself or having to change or reorganize your priorities, how to create space to receive not just a potential relationship, but once you're in relationship, how to really create that space to be in your feminine energetics and what that will create. We go into dating tips, making the most out of being single, not just for fun, but as a tool for your growth and your healing, as well as other juicy topics that came up throughout the conversation, such as celibacy, effective communication, and what it takes to create a successful podcast. We went quite deep in this conversation, as you would expect if you're not new around here. And we actually shared some quite personal stories in regards to all of this. Some memories that I hadn't visited in so long came up throughout the conversation in the middle of the podcast, and it was awesome and it was perfect. So if you want to dive with us into this juicy episode, keep on listening as we dive right into it. Jordana, thank you so much for taking the time to be here in Sacred Leaders. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you.
Oh, thank you, Sigrid. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. Look, there is this big elephant in the room, which is the fact that you have just launched this awesome book and published this amazing book, which is your second book, right?
Yeah, second book.
Yeah, awesome. So it's called Higher Love. And as I was sharing with you right before pressing record, within this book, I've read you talk about dating and all of these different ways in which women can really find. I want to hear it from you, but what I have understood from it and from what I've read is that it's the go-to guide to really understand how to manifest a relationship that you desire without losing yourself, right?
Absolutely.
And I know that, as I was just sharing with you, for a lot of women, especially entrepreneurs, high achievers, goal-driven women, it is often challenging to either find a relationship or keep a relationship because their priorities are so focused on their business. So I think this conversation will be really valuable and I want to go all places with it, but let's start there. What inspired you to write this book and what are some of the golden nuggets that you share in it?
Well, I wrote this book because my first book, Make It Happen, was all about manifestation. And there was a chapter in the book called Manifesting Love. And it's a chapter that really resonated with me while I was writing it, but also resonated with a lot of the readers. And I knew there was more to the story than just the few pages I could include in that first book. So I decided to dedicate an entire book to it. But higher love is so much bigger than manifesting love and manifesting relationships. It's really about getting clear on who you are and what you desire to feel in love. And I think that a lot of women especially, but also men, aren't super clear on that. So when they go into the dating experience or a new relationship and they're trying to keep themselves together, they're sort of not really sure whether they're getting closer to or further away from the thing that they truly desire. They're just trying to keep themselves together in the moment. And you said to me before, you know, how do we have a relationship without losing ourselves? I think that's so interesting because I think the problem for most people isn't losing themselves. It's knowing who they are in the first place and getting super clear on that. Yes. So that when you are in a relationship and you do have someone coming in and pressing your buttons and poking and prodding around, you can stay in alignment with yourself and know when you're being pulled out of it. I think a lot of us go in without the clarity to know when we're losing ourselves, and we turn around, you know, 5 months in or 5 years in and go, how the hell did I end up here?
Yes, that's so true. And as someone in relationship, like hashtag real talk, I know this happens. And I think that personally, what I have found is that it's not really something that we can achieve once and then that's it. Like, I know who I am. I know I have found myself now. Then that's it. Like, so
as box.
Yeah. Like, I consider myself to be, or I know myself to be, someone with a deep level of self-awareness. I've done so much work on myself and I really know my shadows, my strengths, my triggers, all of the things. Mm-hmm. And when I entered the relationship that I am in now, there was a whole other world of who is secret that I had to discover. But not just that, actually, it's easy to lose yourself if there's no practices and rituals or moments that you have where you tune back in outside of the relationship, outside of the business. If there's not those practices, those moments where you are you with yourself, you the woman, you the human being, not you the partner, the lover, the coach, the daughter, the teacher, the whatever, right? And this is anything. You can lose yourself in a relationship. You can lose yourself in life with your business.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's really important that we are aware that we're not perfect. And when you do go into a relationship, there are parts of yourself that fall away. You know, it's prioritizing what they are and knowing that you can lose certain parts of your day perhaps to fit someone else into it, but you can't start to lose your values or the feelings that you desire that are important to you. So what we sort of talk about in higher love is getting clear on the things that are important to you. So your values, how you desire to feel, who you want to be, and using those as a barometer to measure whether that's sustainable in certain relationships. And if you do lose parts of that, is that something that you're willing to compromise?
Yes, I love that reframe. I think that's powerful. And to be honest, as we were having this conversation, I just had this thought come up, or this realization come up, where I was like, actually, I haven't dated a lot myself. Something interesting. I've been either in really deep in relationship or really deep in my I want to be by myself kind of mode. And whenever I have met someone, it's always been through friendship and getting to know ourselves. And maybe we had dates, but we didn't really call them dates. And it wasn't never, I have had really few moments where I intentionally go on a date with someone. So when it comes to the world of dating and what are the best ways and how do we do it authentically and how, not that I'm interested in that right now as I'm in relationship, but it's a topic that it's new to me that I have not that much to say or recommend. So I would love to hear from you. What are the best ways, or what are your golden tips for women that want to go out and date in a way that feels authentic and in a way that feels self-honoring and aligned, like you were saying, with their values and their truth?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it, right? So before you even enter the dating scene, and I've done a lot of dating, more so because I had to write this book. So I really threw myself into...
study case.
Yeah, it was a big year, let me tell you. But prior to that, I'd done quite a bit of dating myself. It's very much, again, about getting super clear before you even start dating of who you are as, I don't want to say a whole person, because I don't think we're ever whole or complete, but a person that you feel is the most authentic version of you. In the book, I talk about your personal vibration and what strengthens it and what weakens it. And we really want to identify who we are in a strong personal vibration, so that when we are sitting there on a date, we can sit across the table from this person and ask ourselves, do I like this person? Do they make me feel how I desire to feel? Can I stay aligned with my values and not sit there thinking, oh God, I hope he likes me? So, yeah, so it's really, again, it's about getting super clear and having self-awareness. And I feel like, you know, a lot of your listeners who are quite spiritual and are in leadership roles and running their own businesses, they probably do have a really good level of self-awareness. And it's not just about knowing what your strengths are. It's also knowing where your weaknesses are and where you might yes. need support and being okay with that. You know, I think the problem that I've run into a lot in relationships is that men are very attracted to my ambition and my success until they're in relationship with me, and then they feel threatened.
Being there, done that.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people who can relate to that. It is a juggle for women, especially as we move into this new generation where women are at the helm of a lot of their businesses and they are coming into their masculine more. And what we need to be able to do is balance that need for, yes, masculine energy to come in and support us, but also for us to be able to drop into our feminine and to find someone who's willing to be in their feminine and not feel threatened when we're taking, you know, leadership in our own lives. And I think that's why it's very important that you're super clear on what's important to you, because if you go in thinking you want one thing and then you have to dampen your spirit, or I say in the book, dull your sparkle in order for a relationship to work, well, that's not a higher love. That's not something that's going to sustain you and serve you long term.
Yes, totally. And interestingly enough, as you were talking about the feminine and masculine energies, I imagine that being the balance within us as well that gets to be at play before we go into dating. For example, that part where you get super clear on your values. What do you want? What do you not want? What are you searching for in someone in order to be open to having a relationship with them, things like that. That would be the more masculine approach to dating, right? There's this really linear, goal-oriented, you're super clear on all the things, do all the lists and all of the stuff. And then the feminine is also the part of you that it's deeply intuitive and that is tuned in and that can feel into her emotions, because, you know, someone can be perfect on paper, but if your gut's saying no, that's what you get to trust as well. And I know that this happens for a lot of women. I've had friends and clients that come to me and say, he ticks all of the boxes.
Yeah.
All of the boxes. But somehow it's just not it. And I feel terrible. And I feel like I'm giving up on this amazing man. And all of this conversation that we're having, by the way, we're having it about women with men, but this applies to women with women and men with men, and men with women, all of the things. So I think that this is deeply important, because sometimes we find someone that just creates all of the butterflies within, and they don't tick all the boxes, but for whatever reason, that's the person we want to be with. Yes. So I feel, and I'd be curious to hear what you think about this, but maybe this is the balance to also know, well, there are things that we are not going to compromise, and that regardless of how many butterflies we may have, if there's red flags that are telling us this is not a good idea, this is trauma-driven, this is daddy issues-driven, then that's a no. But there are times where someone is not going to tick all the boxes, and it's going to feel more heart-expanding than someone that ticks all of the boxes, but there's no feeling that says yes within the body.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think the intuition thing is where people falter a little bit because, you know, when you're in relationship and you're feeling all these things and you're noticing red flags, but you're ignoring them because you're feeling certain things, or like you said, they're ticking all the boxes and you're like, this should be working. I'm just going to stick around longer than perhaps my gut's telling me I should. This is when we really need to be clear on our personal vibration, because your intuition will not mislead you in these situations, but you do have the choice to ignore it or not. I think a lot of people as well start to listen to everyone around them. I know that my family is getting quite frustrated that I have not settled down and had a baby yet. And I can understand that to some degree. But I also know that they're not the person in relationship with whoever I'm dating at the time. And, yes, you know, it's got to feel right. And until it does, I personally will not compromise on that. The whole premise of higher love is, to reframe love. And instead of this idea of falling in love, this very dramatic language that we use where we fall and we're crazy in love and madly in love, it's like, what if instead we rose to love, were felt uplifted by love? You know, that's the kind of love that we're looking for. And that feeling of being uplifted and rising, that's an internal feeling. That's something that only you're going to know. And so in the book, I use a lot of examples of relationships. There's lots of personal stories in there where there were men that, yeah, on paper looked amazing, but I just didn't feel like myself around them. I couldn't lean into my authenticity. I didn't feel in alignment in their presence. And it wasn't necessarily their fault. We just didn't have, it wasn't even not having chemistry. There were some guys where I had physical chemistry with them, but I couldn't connect on an intellectual or an emotional level. And not to say that they weren't clever or in touch with their emotions, but it just wasn't a good fit. And that's the intuition you need to lean into.
Totally. And I can relate to that. I've been with men in the past where they ticked all the boxes, but as well, I didn't feel safe to be fully authentic. I didn't feel like I could be fully myself. So in a way, I wasn't really honoring my true self in that relationship. And then when I met the person that's now my partner, to be honest, there were some big boxes that I was like, not taking them. But I realized that was coming totally from my ego.
Yeah.
And also the ideas that I had around how this man had to be. But in reality, I could be completely myself. I felt fully embraced, fully safe. I had so much fun. I wanted to speak to this person for hours on end. So this was actually a way better fit. Once I was able to really identify that the part of me that didn't want to say yes to this was a part of me that was really in a huge ego trap going, no, it has to be this way. Even if that means that I'm not going to feel like myself.
Yeah, agreed. And I think, you know, we hear a lot about writing down the list of your ideal partner's traits. And, you know, once you've met that man, then, or woman or whatever it might be, you know, then you'll know they're the right person for you. And that list is often very superficial. It's very much based on aesthetic and perhaps, you know, job titles and whatever it might be. And I really am encouraging people to throw that list out. I think it can be very damaging because, as you said, you're with this person and you're like, well, I didn't imagine them being like this, and this part of my ego is telling me that this is not right. What I encourage people to do is sit down and write a list of how they want to feel in love, and not how they want another person to make them feel, but the feelings that they want to radiate when they're in relationship with another, and then using that list as a barometer of whether they're the right person for you or not. Can I feel freedom? Can I feel security? Am I able to feel successful while in relationship with this person?
That's really powerful, and that's really huge. I've had this conversation with many clients and friends before, because that happens so often. We have this list of, it needs to look like this. It needs to be this. For me, it wasn't actually never, I've never really been someone to think too much about the physical aspect of it. But it's, for me, it was around the work. It has to be done. This much spiritual work, these many plant medicine ceremonies, and these many personal development, like seminars, and these blah, blah, blah. And then I made my partner, and I had to throw that list and actually write a list of wins that I had never even considered before, with look more like, I feel completely safe to be a clown around this person. Yeah. I feel super okay with expressing my anger if it comes up and if it's there, like being true to my feelings instead of feeling like I have to behave very well behaved, because if I ever feel a little bit uneasy in any ways, then this person is going to just not take it and run away or whatever it is, right? I can fully thrive in my business and be proud of me and celebrate my success, and this person's going to be happy about it. Like those things that, like you were saying, it's how do I want to feel? Not how do they make me feel, but how do I want to feel? Yeah. And I feel like that's the list that so many people have never even thought about or written down. I know never. I hadn't until this relationship.
Absolutely. I was in a very similar relationship to the one you're describing now, that you're currently with your partner, where my list wasn't so much about the spiritual work or the personal development work, but the career success, because I've worked so hard to get where I am that I felt like I needed somebody who was on the same path and on the same page as me. But what I realized was so much more valuable to me was, like you said, was really being able to be myself, being able to talk for hours on end, being so comfortable to express my emotions or whatever it might be. And I think, look, this is life experience stuff. Yeah, you know, sometimes you got to do it the wrong way to work out what the right way is. Totally. But I do think that when we can start to prioritize ourselves, and it's not about being selfish, it's not about having high standards, it's just about trying to keep yourself intact while you're in relationship with another, because what's the point otherwise? You know, if you're going to slowly start to unravel each other, it's not a rewarding experience. And I feel like you will be the same as me, Sigrid. I would rather be on my own than be in a relationship that's not serving me.
Totally.
Yeah.
1,000%. Yeah. And I actually was on my own. I was single for many years, and it was amazing. It was one of the most amazing things, because I got to really know myself in such a different way. And when I came back into having a relationship, it was from such a different space. It was from a space coming from a story of, you know, when I was in my teens and just like years ago, I used to have this pattern of really give myself completely to a relationship. And I followed, like you say in the book, like men obsessed. So I was completely obsessed with being loved and validated and accepted by whoever I was with, even if it didn't work. And that was due to my own unhealed traumas in regards to the masculine and all of the wounds that I carried regarding abandonment and rejection and all of the things from stories with my father. Through working through that and doing a lot of work to not only heal, but really understand and become aware of the triggers, the patterns, the ways in which that little girl needed my support, I was able to come to a new way of being with myself, and that reflected in my relationships, because I was no longer coming from the space of, I just need someone to love me. Like, I just need a man to choose me. But rather, I had chosen myself.
Yeah.
Sometimes these, it's really important to do. And I know for a lot of people, they go from relationship to relationship, or when they're not in relationship, their time is spent trying to find a relationship or dating without an end, not really giving oneself that intentional time to date yourself, to be with yourself. And I think this is one of the most, one of the biggest things that I was able to do for myself, is really take that intentional time where I was by myself, but I was fully by myself, in the sense of, I was not leaking sexual energy anywhere. I was not leaking any energy in conversations and flirting. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but for the purpose of what I'm trying to say, sometimes we leak energy through being in a little conversation with someone on Instagram, or being in a little dating app, or going on dates, when we haven't given ourselves the time to really almost recover from whatever we have gone through in a past relationship and learn the lessons and find out, what do we get to heal? What do we need? What do we want? So I'm definitely not against dating apps and dating and flirting and all of the things. However, I feel like this was one of the most powerful things I ever did for myself, taking that intentional time to be fully in my own energy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's two things I want to say about that. First thing is, I think that as horrible as 2020 was for a lot of people, it did give us an opportunity to get to know ourselves a little bit better and a little bit deeper. And if you did happen to be single during 2020, then there was a lot of time to be with self. And I think that a lot of the women that I've spoken to really were able to grasp a level of self-awareness that they hadn't had before. And not only did it give them an opportunity to get to know themselves better, but really work out what they desire to feel in a relationship, and how much they want a relationship. I think something that's really important to know as well is, you know, it's okay to be single and be happy being single, and we should all be able to find that comfort in our own company.
Definitely.
But it's also okay to be single and not want to be. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of independent women who, and I'm one of them, who flies the independent flag and feels like they're not allowed to want to not be single. Do you know what I mean? It's okay to want to be in relationship. It's okay to crave connection, but you also need to be able to satisfy your own company.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to just touch on with the getting to know yourself piece and like taking time for yourself, I think it's really important that we do that after relationships, because what starts to happen when we're not closing the loop on something we've just come out of is we start to cart it around as baggage to the next relationship or the next experience. And if we haven't sat down and really reflected on what happened and what lessons came up, those lessons are going to keep resurfacing until we do learn them.
Mm, exactly. 1,000%. And that's the thing, like when we are busy, and busy doesn't need to look like having a lot of work, big work days on your schedule and things like that. Busy sometimes is scrolling through Instagram way too much, or going out every second night, things like that. When we have that busyness in our minds and we're consuming and connecting to others, there is, without having that intentional space to connect with ourselves, those lessons aren't learned as much, because there is no spaciousness, there is no silence, there is no time to really reflect upon, what did I learn about myself in relationship? What did I learn about relationships itself, or dynamics that can happen, things like that. So I feel like that time is definitely really important. And during that time, as I said, I spent years by myself. And during that time, I actually had, I can't fully remember, but I think it was around a year of sleep, like a year sounds like a lot. Well, many months of being fully celibate. And it's something that I had never done. It's something that I had never done. And I have like 7 planets in Scorpio. So I love me some sensual time. You know what I mean? There's like, it is not something that I'm like, oh, I can just, yeah, sex.
Yeah, that's a tricky time for you.
Definitely. Definitely. Yes. But I needed that time. I realized that I had been so open to other people's energies. And I always had these someone I was either talking to or getting to know or flirting with or connecting intimately with. And it had been like that ever since I started dating or being with people. Mm. So that was a really powerful time for me to close in that way, to also know myself when I am not interesting, as I haven't spoken about these in a long time, but it's really cool to revisit these memories, because I think what that did for me is it allowed me to know myself as who is secret when she doesn't need or want anyone to pay attention to her or like her, or because I had already decided that I was not doing that. Yeah. It's almost like the part of me that would have maybe been open to, I don't want to say performance, but you know, sometimes when we want to be light, there's this part of us that acts in different ways and shows up in different ways. And we want to be liked and we want to be seen and all these things that sometimes happen when we are wanting to connect with somebody and we are unaware of those patterns. We're back there. I was really unaware compared to how I am now. But that created that space for me to know secret just because, not secret trying to be likable, not secret trying to make sure that that guy is interested in her, not secret making sure that, just secret yeah. that could not care less about what anybody is going to think about her right now.
Yeah.
Which was the first time I had that space for that.
Yeah. I think that's really important. Something that came up for me when I was listening to you talk was, I think there's a lot of women, and especially the listeners of this podcast, who are so used to themselves being seen a certain way in their business, and they identify with that version of themselves. Because I know that I did for so long. My identity purely came through the work that I did, and when I was in relationship or when I was looking to date, I found myself having to, or feeling like I had to keep playing that role in order to be seen mm-hmm. in relationship, instead of being the person I am without my work or without my business and being seen as that person. And I think that can be a real juggle for people, for women, especially in leadership, is who am I without the business so I can be seen as my raw self, but also I am a businesswoman and I want to be seen as that person as well. I think there's a real juggle there, a real struggle sometimes.
That's such a great point. And as you were saying that, I just thought about how this impacts people's leadership so much as well, because when we don't know ourselves without those labels and without those hats that we wear, there's a disconnection from our actual ultimate potential.
Yeah.
And, you know, I coach women on leadership and embodiment and really getting to embody their deepest truths so that they can amplify their impact in their businesses and their leadership. And sometimes people come to me asking, how is this related, right? It is related, because as long as you just know yourself or have that attachment to just one facet, one aspect of yourself, you're missing the whole point, right? And yeah. I talk about these often, where if we are to really be of service, to really be devoted to making a specific impact, a specific contribution to the world, what would happen? Because the goal would be that one day that job is no longer needed, right? I want to support people to really become free within themselves, to really be in integrity, to really feel full, So if one day we wake up and everyone feels full and everyone feels free, then what then?
Yeah.
Right. And I bring this question because I know that a lot of people's leadership are limited by their attachment to being the leader. Mm. So until you're able to let go and be, you know what? I'm a human. I love doing my work of growth, my work of spiritual, whatever it is for you. And then I'm learning all these epic tools and things, and I write books about it, and I do podcasts about it, and I coach people with it so that I can support, right? But I'm also a human outside of being this leader. So that attachment really limits people's leaderships. And in this case, with the dating, I can see how that attachment to be seen in a certain way, like you were saying, can be the very one thing that limits your expression, because it doesn't really allow you to be vulnerable and authentic enough to connect in intimacy, because without vulnerability, there's no intimacy. So that attachment to who you think you are, it's getting
there. Yeah. It's also the polarity of it. You know, like I'm in a relationship at the moment where I feel like I have been, when I show up to work, I run the show myself. I'm a little bit of a control freak when it comes to my work. I'm not great at delegating.
Guilty.
I'm exhausted and I do everything and everything falls back on me. So when I'm at home with my partner, I just want to be supported and I just want to let go and I just want plans to be made without me having to make them. And, you know, he understands that. But there was a point when we first started dating where he thought I was so capable that I was just wanted to be capable in all aspects of my life, you know, like Miss Independent, treat her as Miss Independent. I won't, you know, I won't take the reins in anything because she enjoys that role. So that, you know, there had to be this conversation of how can I be both? And if I'm being one extreme of the polarity in both areas, I'm going to burn out.
That is huge. What you just brought up is huge because I know this happens to so many women, especially in leadership roles, coaches, business owners, entrepreneurs, because we are so used to being the captain of the ship. Mm. So then we come into relationship and sometimes it's our default mode. I know that's my default mode, not only because of that, but I grew up in a household where I was the one that took care of a lot of things, right? And I was the oldest of three and I had to take care of them and they were boys. So I learned how to take care of boys and men in my household. And it's just like,
wow,
you know, I just learned to take care of everything because that was what I had to do in order to survive in the way in which just the environment and the life that I was living, right? So that in a way, when I came into business and my entrepreneurial career was awesome because I knew how to take care of everything, great manager, great leader. I know how to make sure that everyone's like good and they're doing the things and they have all the information that they need. And like, I knew how to do so many things because they were so innate in my nature, right? But when it comes to relationship, that's been a huge journey for me to really learn how to let go. And I'd say my relationship, my partner has felt so many times that it's just like, well, you're going to do it. You're going to take care of it. And it's because I haven't created this space for that. So yeah. I actually had a massive plum and sincere money some time ago where I was asking, I want to learn how to receive. I want to learn how to let go of this control mode that I'm in by default and learn how to receive. And this analogy that was given to me was really powerful, which was like, if you're sitting in your home asking your partner, why don't you ever cook dinner for me? I want you to really cook some romantic dinners for me. Sometimes I just wish that you could come and cook dinner for me. Can you cook dinner for me on Thursday? But then on Thursday comes and you don't trust he's going to remember. So you go to the shops and you buy the ingredients and you come home and you start cutting the food. And then you finally just cook the food yourself. And then you go, why didn't you cook dinner for me? Because you had already done it.
Yeah.
It was done. you did everything. So there was no space for him to do that.
Yeah.
So my practice has been, I love that you brought this up because yeah, it's something that so many of us women get to learn to do, to create that space as well for the men in our lives to take that space, where they can support us and provide whatever it is in the relationship. Whilst if we're in this control mode, I do everything, there's just not the space for it.
Yeah, and also communicating what you need. You know, I think a lot of us expect our partners to be mind readers. I know I do. I sometimes I'm like, I shouldn't have to ask, but it's also okay to ask. You know, like that doesn't make you any less than or them any less than to ask for what you need in order to feel satisfied.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Mm. There's something that it's a little bit unrelated to what we're talking about, but really stood out to me when I was reading your bio, which is the fact that you have built a reputation for taking big topics and making them relatable. And yeah. I know that your book Must Be This is such a big topic, but women, I've seen the women are really enjoying it and sharing all these epic stories about what they're getting from it. And this is something that I like to do as well. And I know it is something that a lot of coaches and teachers and speakers seek to be able to master. So what in your opinion is the secret sauce to, let's say, bite-sizing big topics? Because this helps in relationship, as you say, in communication as well, right?
Yeah. Look, I mean, my background is journalism. So I've always had to simplify a story in order for it to be understood by readers. So I did learn it as part of a skill set. It's also very intrinsic part of my personal natal chart. I have a lot of planets in the 12th house, which is the house of spirituality and higher consciousness, but a lot of my planets are in signs ruled by Mercury, which is the planet of communication. So I do have this ability to be able to communicate things that perhaps are really big and make them really small and bite-sized. When it comes to translating that skill to other people, I think the best thing you can do is use personal story, use personal experience, and use emotion in order to tell it. So when you're talking to your partner, you can say something like, instead of "you make me feel," which is never a good way to start a conversation, it's "I feel like this when," you know, and really giving them the ability to relate to what you're saying to them by giving them an emotion that they can relate to. Because sometimes, you know, a circumstance that doesn't fit us might not make sense to them because they're okay with it. But if you can give them an emotion to relate to, then they can start to put it into their own experience, you know? So I think that's with anything. So whether that's something that you're communicating through your business, through marketing, through copywriting, or whether it's a conversation with your partner, is injecting relatability into it. And it doesn't always mean exposing yourself in the process, but just bringing emotion into it.
I love that. Definitely. I feel like what I hear as well is self-responsibility first and connection second. Like when you were saying as well, to start the conversation with, "I feel like this is, you know," one-on-one, like definitely do not start a conversation with "you did you," maybe it's just never going to end well.
Right.
Heads up, it's chaos. You are setting up for failure. But when you start in this way, definitely taking that self-responsibility and then definitely that connection where someone can see themselves in what you're sharing, whether it's through your marketing, your content, or a conversation with someone that you care about. You are the host of 3 awesome podcasts. And I know there are a lot of people out there wanting to start their own podcasts, but thinking there are either too many out there, which I don't really believe in, you know, everyone's going to vibe with something different, or that is too much of a hustle to run one, but you managed to go with three. So what, in your opinion, is the key to make a podcast successful?
I think what you need to think about if you want to start a podcast is that it needs to have an intention behind it. And I think the best intention for a podcast, if it's supporting your business, is free marketing. It's free marketing for whatever work that you're doing. There are a lot of podcasts out there. It is a saturated market. It's very hard to make money off a podcast unless you've got a very high listenership and you can have sponsored ads on the podcast. So it can't be seen as a way to profit, but it is an invaluable tool for advertising and marketing for your business. There's different levels, I think, with podcasting. I edit two of the three podcasts myself. One of them is a very tricky edit. It's my podcast Higher Love, and it's a documentary style podcast. So it was very tricky. So I hired an editor to do that, which means I have to pay him weekly to edit that podcast. But everything else I do myself. I record myself at home. I upload myself. I edit. It's a process, but it's doable. But it has to be something you're passionate about. If you're not passionate about it, it is a real time waster. Would you agree, Sigrid?
Yeah, 1,000%. And I personally, like, because I have way too many things on my plate to do the editing, and this is something that I had to let go of.
Yeah.
I'm surely, like, do outsource other things and delegate other things. But for me, with the podcast, was something that I said, okay, I love doing the podcast because I love having conversations and bringing value in this way, but I don't do any of the show notes and the editing and all of those things. In saying that, I feel like it's definitely something that, unless you are really passionate and excited about, doesn't make any sense to do it, because it is, like you were saying, an investment of money. It's a big investment of time, because you are searching for the right people that you want to have on the podcast. And then I come up, obviously, I write my own questions and the things that I want to interview. I pick the people that I want to have in the podcast. I write the emails that I send out to people about the podcast. So even though I have some support with a lot of it, it is a lot of time, and it is quite a fair bit of monetary investment as well. So definitely something that you have to be excited about. And what do you think has supported your podcast to be as successful and engaged as they are? Like, how do you go about, creating the content in a way that can really land for people?
Yeah, look, all three podcast shows are very different in their content. So Luna Lover is probably my longest serving podcast, and it's about the moon. So people just are super interested in the way that the moon and the planets are affecting them personally. It speaks to, their own intrinsic energy. And I think when you can speak to something that someone can relate to on a deeply personal level, then that's where you find success in podcasts. Like we said before, I do have a knack for taking stuff that can sometimes seem a little bit too intangible and a little bit too spiritual and making it really practical. So I think that's why Luna Lover has succeeded so well. They're bite-sized episodes. I think the longest one I've ever done is 20 minutes. So they're usually under 20 minutes long. But I use that as a support for a membership program that I run. It's my way to promote something that is bringing me a passive income. So I think if I didn't have the membership attached to it, then I would start to lose a little bit of the motivation behind it, because although people get a lot of value out of it, I need to get value out of it as well. So that's why I created a membership program around it. Same with my other podcast, Higher Love. It was a complimentary podcast to go alongside the book. The book has personal stories in it. The podcast, I got three women of different backgrounds to basically tell their stories. So that was really interesting because people, again, feel like they can connect to each of those women on a really personal level.
I love that.
I think also people need to be aware that not everyone is set up for the medium of podcasting. You know, like if you struggle to speak, if you don't like listening to the sound of your own voice, if you don't have the time to dedicate to, you know, if it's an interview-based podcast, really diving into, you know, the depths of your guest's souls to extract what your listeners need, then find another medium, you know, write a blog or stick to Instagram or something a little bit more visual. I think people need to sort of play to their own strengths. And if podcasting or, you know, using your voice is not your strength, then I do suggest finding something else because it can be a hard slog.
Yeah, I love that. Powerful. Thank you, love. There's two more questions I want to ask you.
Yeah.
The first one being, where can people find you and in what ways can people work with you?
Yeah. So people can find me on Instagram. My handle is at Jordana Levin. My website is jordanalevin.com. Both of my books are available everywhere. So online bookstores, real life bookstores, and internationally now, both of them. So that's good. And then my podcasts, yeah, can be found on your favorite podcast app. There's Luna Lover, Higher Love, and The Middle, we've actually stopped recording now, but there's three juicy seasons there to binge listen to that I record with my friend, Holly Azapati. I think that's everything.
Amazing. I'm going to leave all of the links in the show notes. And the last question is, in your opinion, what makes a leader sacred?
I think self-awareness, which is what we've really been talking about this whole podcast. I think when you know yourself inside and out, you're aware of what your strengths are, but also what your weaknesses are. That becomes a strength. You know, and I think if we can just keep looking within and growing from within and not searching for things outside of ourselves, we can really step into our full power in a really, really sacred way.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you, love, for taking the time to be here, sharing your wisdom. And I'm excited for all of the women that are going to listen to this and hopefully dive into your new book, Higher Love. It sounds that there is a lot of juicy, juicy tools and content and tips in there. So yeah, just really honoring the work that you do. And thank you again for coming to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this episode and found something valuable that you can apply to your own life. If you want more of this content, be sure to subscribe so that you get notified when new episodes are released. And find me on Instagram at Sigritasius for more free, transformational, and inspirational content. If you want to dive deeper, then head to my website, sigritasius.com/inner alignment, and download my free Inner Alignment Starter Kit to help you redefine productivity and activate your superpowers as a female entrepreneur. I leave the link in the show notes and I will connect with you in the next episode. Lots of love.